Welcome to Landlord Diaries, where we talk about midterm rentals and the opportunities behind them. We'll share landlord stories, talk about maximizing investment potential, and discuss how to live the very best landlord life. This podcast is proudly brought to you by Furnished Finder, the place for everything midterm rentals. Remember to like and subscribe if you enjoy our content.
It's your host team of the Landlord Diaries, Kelly Bailey, coming to you from Austin, Texas area, midterm rental enthusiast with a handful around the Austin area, and my wonderful marketing director, Katie Lyon. What's going on in your world today, lady?
Hello, hello, hello. We are hanging out today with Ziana, and Ziana, you all know, is the co-author of the Bigger Pockets book about medium-term rentals, or as we like to call them, midterm rentals. And today we get to talk with her again. It's her second time of joining us on our show, and we get to talk about some hot topics today: seller financing, creative financing, sub-2, areas of the markets, or markets that are, you know, really prone to climate change and how that can affect you as an investor. So this is like jam-packed with information. Ziana is such a good quick hitter with like boom, fact, boom, idea, boom, something to think about. So it was so great to catch up with her again. And Kelly, the one thing we didn't get to talk about is your property that you have purchased via seller financing. Tell us a little bit more of that before we get into it with Ziana.
Yes, our Temple House is the one that it was already up to the somewhere between the 6s and 7s for interest rates at that point. And we were able to work with the seller. It's our Temple House is the one that has that cute 600 square foot cottage in the back as well. We rent it out either by as an entire home and cottage, both of them as an entire unit, or we rent them out separately as entire units, or we rent everything out as room rentals. So it's a very flexible midterm rental. It's like a couple miles from the main hospital in the Temple area. But yes, we did. We locked in at like about a 3.5 rate for 5 years through seller financing. So it was a great opportunity. It's been a great purchase. The most challenges come up at this place because there's foundation shifts and septic and things like that. But, you know, that all helps you grow in your real estate investing and just how to be a great owner and host for our midterm rental investors. So let's jump in. Ziana has some great tips for us on so many different topics. Enjoy. Let's welcome back Ziana McIntyre. Reminder, she is the co-author of the famous Bigger Pockets book, 30 Day Stay. Ziana is a real estate investor since 2012, personally owns 12 properties and counting, and is an investor-friendly agent as discussed in the book. You can connect with Ziana and purchase the book on her website, ZianaMcIntyre.com. And if you are like, how do you spell McIntyre? Well, it's in the show notes. It's in the title, so it should be easy to find. And reminder, if you want to catch up on her original episode with us, it's episode number 15. Ziana, we're so happy to have you back to talk with you again. How are you doing?
I'm great. I was laughing because McIntyre is hard to spell because I have like a weird spelling, but so is Ziana. So good luck, everyone.
You'll find it for sure. And Ziana, so it's been about a year since we've talked with you. What's changed in the midterm rental space, and you know, what's new in your world?
Yeah, well, I've gotten much more into insurance stays, so that's definitely a big area to move into. I think a lot of people have noticed that there's a lot more people in the MTR space, and you know, that's probably our fault. So sorry, everybody. I really didn't think of the book.
Good job.
I didn't know that the book would make it so much harder, but I've noticed it with my properties. It's probably also a little bit of, you know, the short-term rentals have been struggling a bit. So a lot of people are making that pivot. So we see a lot of people in the midterm space. But even on Furnish Finder, you can start to get these insurance stays, which can be very profitable. So that was one thing that I really leaned into in this last year. And then the second thing is creative financing, because these interest rates just keep going up and up and up. And I think we have one more hike in us. So it's really great to learn how to still get cash flow by getting cheaper interest rates. So we can talk about that too.
I watched one of your shorts on your YouTube channel. I was like, oh, yes, that's such a great example of creative financing. So for our audience, that's one of the things we're going to dive into today is, are there still good midterm rental deals out there? And, you know, a lot of people say when there's not cash flow and other strategies, you've got cash flow still in the midterm rental strategy and appreciation. But is it worth it for the 8% or so rates right now, you know? And so Ziana can speak to that as both an investor in midterm rentals and as a real estate agent as well. So let's dive into that, and then we'll circle back to the insurance conversation as well. So Ziana, why don't you, let's start by defining a few terms that people throw around pretty frequently. Let's start with the simple one, midterm rentals.
Yeah. So a midterm rental or a medium term rental or an MTR, it's all the same thing. It's just a 30-day plus stay. Often they're about 3 months because we get a lot of nurses and they are usually on these 3-month contracts. So that's the baseline.
Come on, if you guys don't have been hanging with us and you don't know what an MTR is by now, then just go back to episode one and
start over.
We gotta refresh everyone for, you know, sometimes. Now let's get into kind of what subject two is, because all this creative financing stuff, I feel like it's like the latest and greatest. It's like the hottest topic because, like you said, these interest rates are killer. There's a couple of different ways that investors can kind of still make things work. And creative financing is definitely, I would say, like the shiniest object right now. Like it's getting a lot of attention. So tell us what subject two means.
Yeah. So subject two is subject to the mortgage. So basically you're buying a home with the existing mortgage in place. So you're getting to take over those mortgage payments without assuming the mortgage. And that's the first thing people want to say, like, oh, well, this mortgage is not assumable, or, you know, that's going to be a big process, which it is. But assuming a mortgage means that you have to qualify for it. And when you're doing subject two, you actually don't have to, which is another benefit for people if maybe they don't have enough space on their DTI, which we can talk about, or they don't qualify because maybe their income has been low for a little while or they changed jobs. So that's another benefit, is just not having to deal with the regular financial qualifications of a loan.
So then how does it work if these people don't have to qualify or the mortgage doesn't have to be assumable? Can you give us, I know it's going to be very easy to get granular here, which we don't necessarily want to get into, but what's kind of the high level structure of a subject to deal? How would that work for a potential investor buyer?
Yeah. So the way that is simplest that we found is that we simply just connect the buyer and seller at the end of the transaction. So there is a little bit more of a relationship. You know, you might talk to them once a year, but at least you know their name and have their phone number, which is not typical in a normal deal. And what we do is we just have the buyer get the sign-in information from the seller. So they both have access to the portal so they can see the payments are being made. They can get the tax statements or whatever they need. But they're setting up right after closing their automatic payment. And so they have access to that portal. It's just that simple.
So it really is like you're just taking over someone's payments. You're finding someone who needs to sell their property. Maybe they're in a pinch or a different situation, and you're simply taking over.
Yeah. And, you know, there's actually some great benefits as a seller and as a buyer. So we really aim to do win-wins. That's like my favorite thing, because I think where creative finance comes from is a lot of the wholesalers, and they often have this idea that, like, oh, I'm going to find somebody who's vulnerable or desperate and kind of screw them over. And I am not into that. So I'm really like, hey, there's a lot of meat on this bone. Let's help everybody.
You guys, fun fact, our Florida investment property, which was our first property we bought as an investment property, it's in Cape Coral. We bought it before we got into MTRs. We originally bought it to do short-term rentals with, but when we bought it, there was still a lot of challenges with supply chain as far as getting your furniture. This was during the time in like 2021, early 2022, when you were like, okay, if I order this couch, it might show up tomorrow or it might show up in 18 months. So we rented it as an unfurnished rental. It's actually a really good market down there. You can still hit the 1% rule, give or take. The market down there has changed a little bit since Ian. But we are ready to let go of that property because we are shifting all in on midterm rentals. And, we're personally investing more in the Midwest where my family is because my family, you know, we've kind of created this little group amongst ourselves. So it was time to let go of our Florida property. We put it on the market. It did not sell because everyone was like, the price is great. The interest rates are killing me. So what we found is at least in that market for us personally, there was a lot of buyers who were shopping, but not many who were ready to, you know, make an offer or make a deal happen because they're so nervous about the interest rates. They don't know when they're going to go down, you know, yada, yada, yada. So long story short, we're doing a seller finance deal with it. And we're doing it essentially like this, where someone is just coming in, taking over the payments for 2 years. And then at the end of that 2 year period, they're obligated to refinance. So then we'll be completely off the paperwork. We'll get, you know, all of our equity back, things like that. So that it's the perfect example, Ziana, what you're saying of like a win-win, lose-lose, right? Like we're not getting completely out of it right now, as much as I wish we would have like, you know, all of our equity back now, but it's off of our plates. We don't have to worry about it. And for them, they get to lock in their price now, where if the interest rates go down, the value of the home is probably going to go up. So they get that win as well. So I just thought I'd share that because it's kind of a real life example that we have here. Mm-hmm. So let's circle back to kind of defining some of these terms just so everyone's kind of on the same page because these things are talked about so much, but rarely defined. So let's define seller financing and creative financing for everyone.
Today's episode is proudly sponsored by Furnished Finder, the ultimate platform for hassle-free midterm rentals. Whether you're a seasoned landlord or just getting started, Furnished Finder is the place for you. With Furnished Finder, you can say goodbye to booking fees and hello to direct bookings for 30-day plus days. It's a win-win for everyone involved. So if you're ready to experience the joys of midterm renting and take a load off your landlord's shoulders, head over to furnishedfinder.com today. We make it easy to get started. We're grateful to Furnished Finder for sponsoring this episode, and we're sure you'll love what they have in store for you.
So seller financing is generally when the house is paid off. So I'm not sure if that's actually your case, Katie, but it doesn't really matter what you call things. I find that like that's as long as you true. Figure out what terms you want to do and everybody understands and agrees, it's fine. But yeah, seller financing is generally when it's paid off and then you're just doing all of the financing on your side as the seller. So you can come up with anything. It's generally much simpler. Because with subject two, there's the mortgage, but then often people also have equity. And so you may have to do two loans where you have an equity loan and you have the regular mortgage, which is one of the great benefits of subject two is that you can still make cash flow, quote unquote, with a property that you don't have to find tenants for and you don't have to maintain anymore. So I love being the middleman. It was funny because Katie's like, oh, you know, I wish we had all our money now. But I find actually that a lot of people don't really know what to do with their money if they take it right away. Because right now, prices are high, interest rates are high. And so you either pay a lot of money in taxes or you have to do a 1031 exchange and you have a very tight window of when you can, you know, buy that next property. So with the seller financing, you're not forced to buy something right now.
Yeah, that was kind of the bittersweet thing. I'm like, okay, we're not going to get this chunk of money back that we can reinvest. But at the same time, it kind of forces our hand to get creative while interest rates are high, which I did like. I'm like, this kind of forces us to figure out some different strategies of ways to continue investing without having a lot of capital. So we've done a lot more arbitrages, things like that, where we're still trying to move the needle without cash, well, without a massive amount of cash, which I think is good practice, right? Because the interest rates right now, like, let's face it, you guys, they suck. They suck. And you can always refinance later and stuff, but it's tough right now. So any type of creativity is great. Okay. So let's talk about cash on cash return. Again, one of those things we all talk about all the time, but I think it's good to sometimes just like, all right, let's really put a definition.
Yeah. So the cash on cash return is the metric that I use. A lot of people use different ones where they'll use a cap rate or an ROI. Don't have me define those because I get a little more confused there. But cash on cash return is easy for me because it's really all of the cash that you bring up front, right? So that might be the down payment, the closing costs, and I like to include furnishing or repairs, right? And then it's how much you make per year. And you've got a percentage there on how much money you put versus how much you make a year.
So many of these words get thrown around and we don't really necessarily fully understand them. And thank you, Ziana. You have excellent answers on the spot. It shows that you're an impeccable investor-friendly agent. And the last one that I think most people probably already understand, but is in one of like when we get into one of your amazing creative financing deals that you are able to find a really strong midterm rental purchase for a client. And at first they wanted to walk away, but you're like, no, let's give me a minute. Let me see if we can negotiate. And you made it happen for them. And, pity is one of those that we'll talk about in the example. So let's wrap up with the definition section on just making sure everyone knows what pity is and then get into that example, creative financing example for us, please.
Yeah. So that's also known as PITI, which is going to be the principal, interest, taxes, and insurance, which really make up your mortgage payment. Okay, so there was a property for sale on the market, and it was just a two-bedroom condo here in Boulder, and they wanted to have $407,500 as the purchase price, so $407,500. And my buyer wanted to come in, but at that time, interest rates were 8.5%. And so he's like, man, if I'm going to make this work, quote unquote, like I need to lowball them a ton. And the market's still pretty strong here. There's a lot of owner occupants buying properties that don't care as much about their return. So it's a kind of a hard place and time to be an investor. And so he was like, well, you know, let's offer $360,000 as the purchase price. And that's already $50,000 under. So that's pretty hard to get somebody to say yes to. But the interest rate he was staring down was 8.5%. So I kind of went back to the agent and said, hey, I wonder if they have a lower interest rate in place. I think they had closed sometime in 2021. And so I was pretty certain that it was low. And he told me that it was 3.76 was their interest rate. So I did a little bit of math and realized, wow, you know, we can actually give them their full purchase price, which nobody else is doing because properties have been sitting a little bit because the interest rates are high, right? And so the difference there is that even at 360, so even if he got that $50,000 off, his PITI with the HOA would have been $2,800. But with the, if they took over the mortgage, so if they got that 3.76 from the other seller, it would have only been just above $2,000. So it's $2,045 a month. So there's a huge difference there.
$800 swing about. Wow.
Yeah. And so, you know, I was estimating the furnishings for him was going to be around $9,000 at that time. And then we still, accounted for vacancy, maintenance, supplies, and utilities. So that was about a little under 500. And the rent that we could get for that was 3,500. So if he got his offer accepted at 360, which was really a long shot, his return on investment, his cash on cash, would not even be 1%. Like, there's just no cash on cash
there. He would be in it for a different reason than cash on cash return, right?
Yeah, he would be hoping for appreciation, which is great, but also risky, as, you know, we don't think things are going to appreciate as fast as they had, right?
Sure.
So I really like to get a little bit of cash on cash. And so with giving them their full price offer for 50K more, just because we're taking over that lower interest rate, he was able to get almost a 16% return, which now is the ballpark that I play in, right? I want to see 15% or more on my MTRs. So yeah, I think there's a real big difference there.
Now, is this a deal that you were able to close on? And if so, like, how was it structured? Was it a subject to, or was it an assumable mortgage? Because I know a lot of times that's where investors get a little bit intimidated and they need a good agent in their court, like yourself, that can kind of help them navigate those technicalities. Because a lot of times it's like, oh, well, I don't know how I'm going to get this across the finish line, or if the seller is going to be up for that. So how did this one shake out?
So this one actually didn't close, and it was more that my buyer got cold feet. And so now I've done a lot more of these deals, and so I feel like I could talk him into it a little bit easier. But he talked to a lawyer and got scared, and he was just like not sure how that would work out. But these deals are completely legal, and I've done a bunch of them now. I've gone ahead and sold a couple of my own places subject to, because I really wanted to have that experience as the seller to be able to talk from a personal experience. And it's been great.
Yeah. I think Kelly and I were talking with a guest the other day where we were talking about COVID and kind of the effects it had on businesses, how it forced businesses to get creative. And I think that's what interest rates are doing to investors, right? It's forcing you to get creative. And if you don't want to get creative, that's totally fine. You just need to make sure your numbers still work, at least to cover all your expenses. And then you hope to refinance in the future and compensate for cash flow that way. So what other tips do you have, Ziona, to investors who are out there and they're like, okay, 8% rate, instantly feel that like heaviness, that dread of like, what do I do? And who are thinking about, okay, I know this creative financing, this seller financing thing is out there. I've heard of subject to, but I don't know what to do. I'm intimidated. I'm overwhelmed. And then that's where they stop, right? A lot of us stop when we get overwhelmed. So what advice would you have for investors or people who are looking to become investors when it comes to that?
Hey, landlords, are you ready to level up your rental game and simplify your life? Well, get ready to meet your new best friend, KeyCheck. KeyCheck is your all-in-one solution for stress-free property management with tenant-paid screenings, rent payment processing, online lease creation with eSign, and a suite of incredible landlord tools. You'll wonder how you ever lived without it. No more chasing down checks or sifting through piles of applications. KeyCheck helps you organize and manage all things landlording in a simple and efficient way. So if you're tired of the rental chaos and crave seamless, efficient management, head over to keycheck.com and sign up today. Make landlord life a breeze with KeyCheck, the game changer for modern property owners.
I think there's like this kind of duality. There, you need to educate enough so that you feel confident, but then you need to start taking action from there. And I think the problem is that people get to a place of over-educating without enough action. So you kind of have to go back and forth with that and be like, okay, I feel like I know a lot. Let me try some things and then keep going. So I don't feel like there's great resources out there right now for subject to. There are people that teach in the space, but I find that it's a little bit murky. It's like hard to really understand. So I encourage people to reach out if that's something they want to do. But another tip is that there are still markets where you can cash flow right off the MLS. So one of the places that I send a lot of investors is Cleveland. I have a really good agent partner that I send people to. And yeah, there's still deals that you can find even on the market. I think it's important for people to note that like real estate investing has always been hard. And I think people like to forget that. And it, you know, after 2008, it was really hard to get loans. Loans didn't exist, right? Because they were giving them out too freely and then they just like pulled them way, way back. Then prices were too high. So even when we had low interest rates, the prices didn't make sense. So it's never been like, oh my gosh, it's so easy. We just buy everything. And I think people think that because it keeps changing and that whatever you have to do to mold to the new market is different. So it's just about being adaptable and creative.
I'm going to add a piece of advice here that is find someone, an investor-friendly agent, someone like Ziona or anyone who really like is super comfortable in the space that you want to get into and lean into them, right? Because that's what they're there to do. That's their specialty. And it's really great to work with someone in your space if you're working towards getting a property or something that's smarter than you, more experienced than you, has more of an expertise. Like get with that person because that's what they're there to do.
So I'm going to transition us kind of along the same lines, but into a new portion of the topic is climate-proof real estate investing related to midterm rentals. That's something that you've been focusing on this year as well. So tell us more about that.
Yeah. So I'm actually talking to Bigger Pockets about a book today. And so if it doesn't come out, you guys know who to yell at. but I think it would be really cool. I think right now people are starting to see that the climate and natural disasters are having a really big effect. For some of us, we've turned it into a positive of taking care of insurance tenants and making really great returns with that. But what a lot of people are dealing with are really, really high insurance costs. In Colorado, a lot of people's rates are going up 40%. So it can be really difficult. In Florida, some people are not even able to be insured.
Yeah, let's hear Florida people.
Yeah.
You just say the word Florida and my anxiety goes.
Yeah. And some of these places feel like a hot potato. And so what I'm wanting with this book, if they, you know, go along with it, is just the idea of, hey, can we get ahead of the curve? There are places that different researchers have named as climate proof or climate resistant. So I believe climate proof investing is important to consider because it gives you an edge on a few things. So if somebody is thinking about that now, they might get a jump on selling properties in sunbelt areas with high temperatures or some of these beach communities that might be harder to sell later. Like you're saying, Florida. I also think about Arizona. A lot of people love scooping up properties there, but I'm like, how realistic is 120 degrees? You know, is that going to always be okay? I don't know if that's going to change, right? Yeah. And so this lets you buy affordably before the rush in certain areas and maybe even secure future housing for yourself. That right now, I'm not ready to live in Minnesota, but maybe one of my properties will be great, you know, in 10 years if that climate changes and it gets to be less of a winter, I don't know, barren desert. I don't know. I don't know what it's like there. But it also,
I think we need to get you a ticket to Minnesota for a while.
I know. It might be really nice, honestly. But I think it can also position you for appreciation if you get in early. So just a couple reasons why I'm thinking this is a good thing to think about now, because even if you change your strategy in your market, it's not like you're going to sell all your properties and buy all new properties in 1 year. It's usually a slow process. So this gives you time to do that.
Mm-hmm. Where are you specifically looking at climate-proof investing for your personal portfolio?
So I'm not entirely sure yet, but I'm doing a little bit of digging. It seems like Duluth, Minnesota, which is a college town. So probably pretty similar to Boulder. Some of the things that work really well here is the university is a big draw. And they have a lot of medical there. So these are all things that can work really well for an MTR. That seems like an interesting place that's been named by the New York Times as being climate proof. Some other places are like Milwaukee and Madison, Wisconsin, which I've heard are pretty cool towns, right? So it doesn't mean that you have to go somewhere that's not going to be interesting for tenants. You can still find great places, but now you're not as worried about tornadoes and earthquakes and fires and a lot of things that are destroying properties.
I think that's smart. I love it. All right, Ziona, talk to us a little bit about your experience and tips about finding and securing relationships with insurance agencies on Furnished Finder, because like you said earlier, that's something that you've been diving into a little bit more. And we'd love to hear your experience because this is a little bit of a hot topic as well.
Yeah, absolutely. We had our first insurance stay actually come from Furnished Finder. So I guess the only thing I would say about Furnished Finder is that based on the way that you have to price, because it's generally for nurses, that's like the primary tenant we're seeing, at least on our side, they are a little bit more budget conscious and insurance companies are not. That's a big difference. So based on how I price my property on Furnished Finder, it's going to be a lot different than how I might price it on an insurance platform. So an example is this property I have in Atlanta. We ended up renting it for just $5,000 a month because that's kind of what we had it on Furnished Finder for. And it was a little bit hard to say like, oh, never mind. We want to charge you way more. But on some of the other websites, it's listed for $8,000. So there is a bit of a spread there, but we are still really excited to get a 5-month stay with an insurance company. So what's nice is that you're leasing to that company, not the individual. So it feels a lot safer than having to find somebody and vet them and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I just want to bring up a couple notes from kind of the Furnished Finder side that we're seeing more and more variety of tenants on the website. So a few years ago, if you would have asked us, like, what's your tenants? We're like, we are a travel nurse platform. Now it is such a mixed bag. It's like give or take 50-50 of travel nurses and medical professionals, but that really depends on your market. So like you said, Ziona, you might see a lot of travel nurses for, let's say, Boulder, because who doesn't want to spend 3 to 6 months in Boulder? Like, what a cool experience. But then in other cities or markets, you might see more digital nomads. You might see more insurance claims if it's one of these places that does have more hurricanes or earthquakes or flooding or whatnot. So yeah. I think that's important, like you said, to keep your eyes open and be open to kind of whatever comes your way as a lead on Furnished Finder.
Yeah, mm-hmm. For sure.
And then stay in touch. So that's kind mm-hmm. of like the thing that agents have down pretty well is that we already have like a customer management system where we're tracking people and stuff. And so you can put reminders in a platform like that to send out automatic texts or emails. And so we do try to keep a habit of collecting all the people, even if we don't actually book with them, they might be placing people in a whole region. Right? So they might be somebody to come back to. So we just try to remind them, hey, these are the properties that we have. Yeah, it's worked out pretty well.
Awesome. Well, we've talked about so many great things, creative financing, subject to climate proof investing, and how to connect with insurance agencies. I'd like to wrap us up with more of a personal touch. What's going on with your midterm rental portfolio? What challenges or success stories do you have this year? Or what is your focus right now for your midterm rentals?
Yeah, actually this year has been better than I expected. Like the spring really came on great and the summer was really hot. We're kind of coming into the fall now, which is historically a little slower in my markets. And so I am seeing a bit of a drop, which makes me a little more nervous. But we'll see how it goes. The thing that I've been focusing on a lot recently is pricing. I have a friend who is really good at pricing analytics, and he's been offering a service for different people to go into their price labs or different things and teach them how to create seasons, but also sub-seasons of time so that you can have really accurate pricing that changes a little more automatically. And I find that that's making a huge difference because then you can really charge the high rates when there's a lot of demand and then be very competitive in the slower times.
Mm-hmm. I think you had a pretty amazing masterclass with him back in May, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. We have a mastermind that we run for STRs and MTRs. It's like a monthly meetup. Yeah. And he talked about that a lot, which was great.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being with us today. We always enjoy getting to talk with you. For those that want to connect, of course, the details will be in the show notes, but do you want to give a shout out to where you prefer them to connect?
Yeah, I'm the most active on Instagram, so Ziana McIntyre is my handle there, but I'm also on YouTube, like you mentioned, and my website is a great place to see what my latest offerings are, and that's ZianaMcIntyre.com. Thanks so much.
Thanks, everyone. Thank you for being here. As always, if you're enjoying our show, don't forget to like, subscribe, or comment on your favorite network. Have a great day, everyone. Bye.
Thanks, guys.